Loop here on Labor Day. The fellas are off. Luke Morrow alongside Chris Partee with you on this holiday. Appreciate you hanging with us. Colin Neal on the steel wheels. I was looking around after that intro. Oh, there it is. There's the smelling salts. They're still in here.
I was going to say, I don't think we'll be sniffing anything
if you want
today, but maybe we will.
Where, if you needed the whiff.
Can you pass some over here?
Have you guys ever used smelling salts before?
Heck no.
I mean, you don't want to have to use smelling salts.
No.
Do I dare open this?
If you want. If you need a little pick-me-up here on this Labor Day.
Are you feeling dangerous on this Labor Day?
Yeah. Not really. No.
A little sluggish? Because then that's when you might need it.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe by the time we get to like the final hour of the show, you know, and you need a little pick-me-up to finish strong. We'll see. But it's there for you if you need it.
It is here.
We started the show talking about what could derail the Texans' season, as it's now game week. Week one is Sunday. And on the text line, you can always text the show, 713-572-4610. 8-3-2 said a major injury to C.J. Stroud. Of course, that's a given, although the backups have looked pretty good. 8-3-2 said Mixon could derail the Texans this year if he misses the whole season. And then I like this conspiracy theory from Fern on the text line.
Uh-oh, here we go. Already conspiracy theories 30 minutes into the show.
Joe Mixon is upset about Nick Chubb taking carries away, so he's holding out, and they're using an injury as the reason why he's not with the team. What do you think of that conspiracy? You buy that conspiracy? I do not.
I'm not going to buy into that, but, you know, stranger things have happened. But I don't think that's going to be it, because I don't think Nick Chubb – well, I don't think the original plan was for Nick Chubb to come in and have a ton of carries. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to eat – I don't think it was going to be the plan to eat that much into what Joe Mixon was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I just – I don't really, you know.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
Now, you never know what's going on behind the scenes, but I think there is some type of injury or something going on, maybe something personal in Joe Mixon's life that they may not be sharing with the media. We've seen that before in different sports. I do think there is something going on, though.
That's what someone else did say in the text line. Could it be more of an illness than an injury? D'Amico was very passionate and did mention family when talking about Joe Mixon.
It
could be. I mean, I know... Harrison Smith, the Pro Bowl safety for the Vikings, is dealing with something, has been away from the team. They're not calling an injury. They said it's not mental health, but it's, I forget the phrasing they used.
I mean,
but yeah, it could always, you never really know exactly.
I mean, I think sometimes we forget that, you know, these players are real people like we are. They just make a lot more money than most of us, you know what I mean? But they still go through some of the same trials and tribulations. They deal with family issues and personal issues as well. Just because most of them are what we would call rich doesn't mean they don't deal with certain things.
No.
You know what I mean? I think we forget that sometimes.
Yeah. As they say, money doesn't buy happiness, which might be true, but it does buy solutions. And so it does help with a lot of problem solving, but absolutely. I mean,
it definitely helps.
Yeah, it sure does.
Especially in today's economy, money helps.
Yeah. Hey, we started the show with a little negative. You could still text or get to us on the online streams as well about what could derail the Texan season. But now I'm going to ask you a bit of a positive question, because I don't think it was a positive weekend overall for the Astros, dropping 2 of 3 against the Angels. They finish up that series today at 1:10 Central, so we'll still be on the air when that game gets underway. And we'll see what, you know, Luis Garcia has today, pitching for the first time in 28 months.
That's exciting.
It's very exciting.
That's positive.
We'll see if that leads to our question of the day, though, if it's you know, if it's a letdown.
Uh-oh.
We'll see how it goes for Garcia today.
I mean, do we dare still throw this out there then? It's already out there.
The
question's already out there. But
yeah, Luis Garcia might be a letdown in his return. We'll see. But even though they lost 2 out of 3 to the Angels, could you actually come out of the weekend feeling better about this Astros team? I know the offense is non-existent right now. Do we expect that to last? Because I don't think so. But the pitching, what you saw from Javier and Arrigetti over the weekend as they continue to work their way back, does that actually make you feel better about the Astros, even though they lost more games than they won? It's more about what you saw from those starting pitchers Friday and Saturday that, you know, you still can feel positive about this weekend.
I don't know about better. If it doesn't make you feel better, maybe it makes you feel good, all right to good, because you did see... I guess we're going to stay on the theme of positivity there with the pitching, but they still haven't been hitting. You lose 2 out of 3. Another positive, though, still got a 2-game lead in the division over the Mariners, right? So that is positive. Got Luis Garcia tonight. Now, if Luis Garcia comes out and you know, was able to get that W, or even if he doesn't actually get the win, the Astros are able to get the W and he looks good, then yeah, you probably feel a lot better then after tonight, so, or after this afternoon. So yep. I think that's still kind of up in the air. But if you're talking about just, you know, from the weekend, maybe the pitching, the positive, you know, some of the pitching we saw, maybe that makes you feel good. I don't know about better, because you still did lose 2 out of 3.
It is wild that the Astros, if you zoom out, two things. Number one, they're 20-27 since they swept the Dodgers around July 4th.
Damn.
That's not good, and that's a big sample size. That's almost a third of a season.
Yeah.
20-27, seven games under 500. Not good. This has not been a good baseball team for about 2 months. But the other crazy part about that is, as you mentioned, they still lead the Mariners, and they've never given up first place. They have played 7 games under .500 for the last 2 months,
yeah,
and still the Mariners have not been able to take advantage.
Did they tie them at one point or get with like a half? I thought they tied them at one point, but maybe it was
they
half
might have
a game.
Tied,
maybe
but
it was,
still,
but they
the
never
Astros,
passed.
Yeah,
I don't think
right.
they maybe surpassed them.
No, I don't think they ever passed them.
Yeah.
And that's why I hate to be that guy, because every year is a different year, and I have nothing against the Mariners, and but it's just hard to take them seriously when they usually fall apart in September to begin with, when they are in the race. Yeah. And then this year, specifically for the Mariners, I'm talking about, the Astros have left the door wide open for you. And even though they had that great winning streak there around, the trade deadline or the All-Star break, yeah, whatever it was, the Mariners won like 8 in a row. Still, the Astros have been a bad baseball team for 2 months. They just scored the second fewest runs in the league in the month of August, and you're still trailing them by multiple games.
By 2 games, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and like you said, the door is wide open.
Wide open.
There is, I mean, we got a whole month left. Today is September 1st. There's about a month left.
Yep.
Probably, what, 25? Yeah, so 25 games left.
Something like that.
For most teams. You've got time to make up 2 games, but are the Mariners going to do it? Probably not. because this is what we've seen for not just years, but decades.
Yeah.
From the Mariners. And as someone who grew up on the West Coast and watched a lot of Mariners, Ken Griffey is my guy.
Mm-hmm.
Watched a lot of Mariners growing up. I've seen it a lot of times. They collapse in either late August or September.
Yeah.
They'll be right there and they'll collapse.
It's like
never fails.
It's like a football game where a team has a terrible offense. And so even though they're only down like 7-0 or 10-0, it just feels like it's insurmountable.
Yeah.
It feels like it's a 20-point game. And it's the same thing here where it is crazy. You look at the standings, you're like, oh shoot, the Astros only have a 2-game lead. And that should be very stressful, but for some reason, I have not stressed about the division all summer. That as bad as the Astros have played and as much as the offense has disappeared and the amount of injuries they've had, I still really haven't taken the Mariners all that seriously as an AL West contender. I know they're only 2 games back. They've got the big dumper who's setting records, but just like, it's the Mariners. If they haven't done it yet, well, why do I think it's going to change here over the last 4 weeks of the season?
I mean, you know, even though Kyle Raleigh is still hitting home runs, he hasn't hit great since the All-Star break. Since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
He has not, as far as average-wise. Right.
It's down around 200.
Yeah. He hasn't been great. He's still hitting some home runs, but just in the overall, aspect of it, no, he hasn't been great.
He's a catcher who plays every day.
Yeah.
Right? He's going to wear down at some point.
Eventually, it's got to catch up to you.
Right.
Eventually.
I do feel better about the Astros, though, today than I did on, let's say, Friday.
Yeah.
Because I do think this lineup is better than they've performed. And I know numbers don't always work great on the radio, but I'll throw some stats at you. They've been shut out 5 times over the last 2 weeks, which is just crazy.
Oh, man.
They've scored 2 runs or fewer in 11 of the last 18 games. They've averaged 2 runs at home per game for the last month. 2 runs at home per game.
That's the shocking part to me, at home.
Ridiculous,
That's what's shocking.
And they scored the second fewest runs in the league in August, only ahead of the Guardians, who have had a bad offense, too. This offense is bad. In fact, they're 1-20 in the last 21 games that they score fewer than 4 runs.
So, yet, and still, they are in first place in the American League West.
Yeah, they are.
By 2 games.
I just think the lineup can't be this bad, because now you have Yordan back, you add Correa, you're going to get Jake Myers back soon, you believe he's rehabbing. And when you look on paper, it's a pretty good lineup. Christian Walker's now been hitting well for the last 2 months. I know Cam Smith has disappeared, but it's a pretty good, pretty deep lineup. I think the lineup's going to turn around. I've been saying all year that they need more starting pitching when it comes to winning in the playoffs. And if you get Javier and you get Arrigetti pitching like they did over this weekend, I'll go into the playoffs where pitching still, to me, I'm old school, pitching still wins World Series. So even though the lineup is struggling, you still got to go in there and pitch well. And if you have those guys contributing in the starting rotation, you have Hunter Brown and Fromber and Jason Alexander and Javier and Arrigetti, and you have that depth of pitchers, I feel pretty good.
But do you really do you believe that if they continue to struggle this bad as what you've just laid out, even with the pitching, that they can carry all that over, struggling this bad at the plate, and win in October? Do you really believe that?
I think they could, yes, if they get really good pitching.
And I mean go deep. I don't just mean win the wild card, you know, win the first round, or I mean go deep, you know, at least AL championship.
I think so. I think pitching can carry you as long as you get enough offense.
Yeah, yeah.
And Correa's
but
clutch.
But that's the thing. You got to get Jordan's enough offense.
Back. Yeah, they're not scoring anything right now.
That's the thing. But I think we've seen this most of the season. You know, they had a long stretch earlier, like really earlier in the season, where they didn't do a lot of hitting. Then they turned it back on more recently, kind of in the summer, the summer months, I guess, June, July, they kind of turned it back on. And now they've kind of slumped again.
They were 12th in OPS heading into August, right? So they had the 12th best offense for most of the season. This was just a terrible month. I think they can still improve offensively, right? That what we saw in August isn't the norm. It was just a really bad month.
I mean, they got the bats in there. They just got to start swinging them and connecting.
Right, that's what I mean. It's a pretty good lineup.
They got the bats in there.
Text line says, not only is Seattle close, but South Oklahoma is coming fast. They're 4.5 games back. Yeah, and you have two series with the Rangers coming up in the next 2 weeks. So the Rangers have a pretty good opportunity.
Yeah.
We'll leave it on this, and we'll circle back to the Astros later on. They have the second toughest schedule the rest of the way of any AL playoff contender. Tougher than the Mariners, tougher than the Rangers, tougher than the other wildcard teams. So it's not easy. You get the Yankees the next couple of days here in Houston. You get the Rangers twice in the next 2 weeks. This is it's September, but this is a huge couple of weeks for the Astros holding on to that two-game lead. All right, hey, time for the question of the day. Arch Manning, his debut as starter for Texas, pretty underwhelming over the weekend. So we ask you, what's the most underwhelming debut in your life? What's something you were really excited for, but it ended up being a huge letdown? I'm not talking about for you, but just in your life. Could be movies, could be sports, could be entertainment, whatever it is. Let us know on the text line, 713-572-4610, and we'll get to those next. It's In the Loop.